Good morning, WQBX audience. It's great to be with you here on this wonderful Sunday morning. And this is Richard Jolliffe, and you're listening to Unscripted. We come to you here every week on WQBX to share with you things that are going on in the Central Michigan area, from all the way down to Saginaw, out to Edmore, up north to Mount Pleasant and Clare, down to St. John's. And so it has been our great honor and privilege to be with you here every week and to be able to share with you some of those exciting things that are taking place. We have been in a lot of different places over the last couple of months. We've had the opportunity to go to Hope House and meet with Nathan and Jake there and to hear about what's happening there in their ministry and helping people that that are homeless. We had the opportunity to meet with Sue Stack at Love Inc. and to hear what's happening in the Love Inc. and what they're actually doing in helping people to get their lives back on track financially and also spiritually. Last week we had on Mona Teal from down in the heart of Saginaw, and she shared with us what they're doing in their ministry. So we've really covered a lot of distance in the different places that we've been, let alone as well the pastors that we've met with and talked with that have had been on here and shared their story, where they've come from. Today, I would like to share with you a little bit of my story. So this is going to be a little bit different today. I've been pastoring now for 45 years in ministry, and I started on the mission field. My wife and I started on the mission field back in 1981, right after I graduated from college. I actually met her right when I was graduating. I knew my wife Sharon for just a couple of weeks, and I proposed to her. And so I met her in June, proposed July the 4th, and we were married August the 8th. And we've been married for 43 years now, and it's been absolutely a wonderful, wonderful journey that we have had together. And we've got three really great children, and we've got eight grandchildren now. And so a lot of really great things that have happened in our life. But as I said, I've been pastoring now and in ministry for about 45 years. I actually started on the mission field, going into the Philippines and preaching in the jungles of Mindanao and in the southern island of the Philippines. And that was such a great transforming period in my life while I was there. And when I came home, I just knew that I was going to be doing mission work. And but the Lord had other plans for my life. And while my wife and I were serving in Mexico, on the Mexican border, ministering to the beautiful Spanish-speaking people there, the Lord called us to come to back to our hometown area and to start pastoring. And so I was in Marietta, Ohio, where I graduated from college. I pastored there for 10 years, and we built a great TV station there in the church, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's really how I got my experience with doing multimedia. And so we had a great TV station there. We had a great church that was there, a Bible college that was there. And we just saw a lot of wonderful things, but that time came to an end. And we moved here to Michigan, and I served on staff at another church for probably about 5 months, I think it was. And then the Lord opened up and gave me the opportunity to pastor where I'm at today, and that's at Amazing Grace Church. And so I've been there now for quite a while. But you know, I'm telling you the story about ministry and where we're at now. But you know, there was a time in my life where I really didn't know the Lord in my life. I really didn't know Christ in my life. I mean, I knew about God. I had grown up in church, in and out of church. But I had just such a very, very convoluted view of who God was. I mean, I wasn't sure. It felt like in the churches that I had attended that, you know, that God was good and I was bad, and that, you know, that I couldn't really do right. I just have to keep going back to God and telling him how sorry I am for the sorry mess that I was. And I eventually ended up on alcohol pretty heavy, ended up on drugs by the end of high school. And even though I was having a very successful basketball career, at my high school, was heading off to college to play college basketball. I still was very, very miserable in my heart. And I wanted to know God. I wanted to know more about God. I had a real desire. I'd had some experiences with God as a kid in church and some really powerful experiences, but I just grew very disillusioned with everything about the church and about spiritual life, and because I just couldn't seem to find my way. And it was in my senior year that I was had come home. I had really felt like that I was supposed to go into ministry, but I wasn't. I didn't really know how to make that happen. The church I was attending, they were trying to talk to me about how that I could actually get into serving in the ministry, going to seminary, and getting my education. And one night, I had come home, and when I went to bed that night, I had a very, very strange experience that happened to me, and that really transformed my whole life. We had in our family, I'll just kind of back up a moment. Our family was a absolute disaster. My parents we attended church, we really wouldn't be what living a Christian life. We were living just like everybody else lived, doing whatever we wanted to do. And same would have been true of my three siblings as well. And my sister was pregnant at 16, ended up getting married and moved to California, had her baby, and the baby died in a crib death. My sister was devastated. Her husband started slapping her around, and finally she left him and divorced him and came back very brokenhearted. I, of course, as I was telling you, was all wound up on drugs and alcohol and everything, that just the big time party scene. And my brother, younger brother, he was a drugs dealer, actually. And my first opportunity to be able to take acid, he actually sold it to me. And so a lot of different things that our family was just a mess. My younger brother was a mess. My parents were a mess. But we had a relative in our family who prayed for us. And he was his name was Al Muggy. He was my uncle. And he was a truck driver for most of his life, except when he was fighting in World War II. And he was a mean man, but someone got a hold of him and shared the good news with him, the gospel of Christ with him, and he gave his life to Jesus. And when he became a Christian, he started praying for our family and just praying that God would begin to move in our family. And I've shared a little bit of this with you in the past, that as he would pray, he would also talk with us about that we needed to receive Christ into our lives. He would share with us how that Jesus had made a difference in his life. But, you know, to us, it seems stupid. I mean, it just all seems so ridiculous, and that it really wasn't important what he was saying, and we'd make fun of him and ignore him, and he'd cry. I mean, he was a very broken man, but he really cared about his family, loved his family. And he would share with my dad, he would share with me, my brother, my sister, my brothers, my sister, other family members, that when we would gather around the table, but none of us were listening to anything he had to say. But right around 1977, I know that's a long time ago, as I was saying, I came home one night and I was laying on my bed, fell asleep. And while I was asleep, I had this incredible dream. And I just want to kind of give you the image of what I actually saw. I woke up in this dream and there was a window right above my head, and I could just feel something dark and gloomy and eerie was going on outside that window. And when I got up on my knees to look out that window, I could see that the whole world was in flames. All of it was in flames. And I mean, it was as far as you could see the flames, like you would see looking at the sun. It was absolutely amazing, but yet it was so dark as well. And I remember at that moment that I had said to, I had cried out to God, because that feeling of fear, I don't know if you've ever had one of those dreams where fear really grabbed your heart, but I remember that night as I was that in that dream was having so much fear, I cried out to God and said, Lord God, I believe in you and I'll follow you and for the rest of my life. And I heard these words from heaven, and it was these words were from, which I believe were from God, it's too late. And as soon as I heard those words, immediately I woke up and I actually looked out the window to see, because I mean, I just felt like that I was in a cold sweat. And here I am 18 years old and I am confronted with eternity. You know, where will my life go? What will happen? What's next? What happens when we die? What goes on? You know, what does God think about us? And here I'm laying there in bed and I've heard the words, it's too late. It's too late. And when I woke up, I heard these words, and I don't know, I didn't know any Bible verses at that time, but I heard these words, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. And at that moment, I said to the Lord Jesus, I will take up my cross and I will every day and I will follow you for the rest of my life. And I didn't even know where that verse was. Actually, I had to have somebody help me find it, but it's actually in Luke 9:23. But I believe that God spoke that to me that night. And at that point in my life, I'd love to be able to tell you that, man, every vice that I had, every addiction that I was dealing with, all the insecurities that I was battling, all the anger and the fear that I dealt with, I'd love to tell you that all of that went away, but it didn't go away. But I knew that all of a sudden now that I had an ally in my life, and that ally was God. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, God walked through with me through a lot of different things. And when I even went to college, I was still battling alcoholism and drug addiction. But while I'm at college and I'm trying to grow in my relationship with Christ, to get to know God, I wasn't even going to church. I wasn't really interested in what was happening in the churches at that time because I had such a bad experience with the whole church scene. But what was happening was that I had started reading the Bible, and as I had started reading through the scriptures, I learned more about God. I learned more about who God is. I learned more about what God has done for us and what God really is like. See, I think at times, and maybe you understand this as you're hearing me tell this story, that when we rely on a bad information about God, it creates a bad attitude about God in our lives. And so, and we get lots of bad information sometimes from good, well-meaning people, but still bad information. You know, and that bad information can really mess us up, can confuse us, and get us off on the wrong track. And that's exactly what it did with me. But as I began to read the Bible and as I began to study, I began to learn more about who God is and what God has and what God is willing to do. And that's really what I wanted to talk with you about in today's program. You know, at that point, of course, then I surrendered my life to the Lord, began to grow, began to develop my relationship with God. Eventually, I did start going to church because that's where I met my wife at, but I was never really attending any place seriously. But I learned some really powerful things about God I'd like to share with you, some things maybe that you've never heard before, but could really help you and could really give all of us a greater understanding of what exactly does God think about us. Well, the first thing I want to say is that I've learned that God created us to be with Him. See, we weren't made to be separate from God. Sin has done that, but we weren't made for that purpose. We were made to be with God. If you go back into the Old Testament in the beginning, you see that man was with God. Man was with God every day. Man's experience was with God. There was an exchange, a divine exchange that was taking place where, you know, mankind was drawing from God. See, God created us to be with Him. It was never His intention to create us to be separated from Him. But because of the things that happen and because of man's choices, our sins separate us from God. When you look at Genesis chapter 3, you really see that, where all of a sudden now, man's all the things that we deal with today, man's afraid of God, man doesn't understand God, man questions God, man wonders about God's care and love for him. So we all of a sudden begin to see things in a whole different light because of what sin does. And that sin separates us. It becomes a barrier between us and God. And here's the really, this was one of the really tough things that I learned, that our sins cannot be removed by just doing good stuff. That sometimes we think, well, if I do enough good stuff, then I'll be okay with God. You know, but the truth is that you can't do enough good stuff. There's not anything that you could do good enough that would earn you the right to be with God. One, so let's be clear about this. One, God created you to be with him. So his desire is to be with you. The only thing that separates us from God is our sin, or our choosing to be our own God, and that sin in our lives can't be removed because we give a lot of money, or we do a lot of work, or we're helping a lot of people, that we cannot earn that relationship with God. And I think that's where we get a little bit confused. I know I did in the whole church experience, was that somehow I felt like if I just did enough, if I go to church enough, if I pray enough, if I read my Bible enough, and if I don't commit any of the, you know, the bad sins, and, you know, and I'm living a repentant life all the time in my life, then I'll be good enough that God would want to be with me. But the truth is that Jesus is the only one who could pay the price for our sins. We couldn't pay that price. Even if we died for our sins, it would not have paid for our sins. But the perfect Son of God came and paid the price for sin. So now what we understand about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he paid a debt that he didn't even know. You and I, we owed a debt that we couldn't even pay. There was just no way that we could do it. And there wasn't anything that we could give. If we were to give our whole selves, every possession we have, we could not pay for our sins. But Jesus, who didn't owe a single thing, said, I'll pay the debt. I'm perfect. I have committed no sin. So I will pay the price for sin. And that's why Jesus died and rose again. He gave his life so that we could have a new life, so that we could get back to that relationship that God created us to have with him. And that is to be with him. He paid that price for you and I. And when we realize that, we now understand, and this is what I've had to learn, that we come to God from a place of love, not to get love. We don't have to get God to love us. Sometimes we can feel that way because authority figures in our lives, that we realize that it's based off performance that we get love. But with God, it's not based off performance. It's based off Christ's performance. And so when you and I come to God, when we come to Christ, we're not coming to get love. We're coming from a place of love, that we already know that we are loved, that he's already paid that price. Jesus, thank God, he doesn't have to die again. He doesn't have to rise from the dead again. He's already done all of that for you and I. And that's really what the Gospels are about. And it tells us in the book of John that everybody who trusts in him alone will have eternal life. Now, we know that mankind, our spiritual life, will live on forever. We know that from what the scriptures teach us, that we're an eternal being. We are not, you know, we're not just a temporary being that we live 70, 80, 90 years and then we cease to exist. When our body dies, everything about us is dead. That is not true. Our body will die, but there is an element of us that is the spiritual life that will live on for all eternity. And so the idea is here that when we trust in the Lord and him alone, we have eternal life. And what that means is what Jesus said in John 17 and 3, that this is what eternal life is, that they can know the Father and his only Son, Jesus Christ. It's not fire insurance that it just gets you out of hell, even though it does by believing on the Lord Jesus, because you're not going to go to hell when you believe on the Lord Jesus. But it gives us a relationship with Christ in our lives. As I talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, it gives us an ally, someone who is with us, someone who will help us, someone who walks through the pain and difficulties of life with us and understands all the pain and the difficulties that we go through and still loves us, still cares for us, and still helps us to go through whatever it is that we're facing. See, that's the great love. That's what eternal life is, that we could know the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we think of that idea, we realize that God created us to be with Him, and it's only through Jesus that we can be with Him. It's not through what church that we go to, though going to church is important because it's part of our spiritual growth and our community, but that you and I, what we experience in our lives is a relationship with Almighty God that we were created to have. See, that's what I want you to understand, is that you were created to have this incredible relationship with God, not to feel distant from God, not to be ashamed in your life. That's shame and all of that, you know, feeling shame in our lives and guilt, that all came because of sin. Thank God Jesus Christ paid for our sin so that that shame and that guilt can be taken away. They're the after effects. They're the remnant of sin in our lives, that shame and guilt. And so everybody who trusts in Christ and Him alone, they have eternal life. They have now a relationship with God. Life with Jesus starts now and it lasts forever. That's so powerful for you and I, that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we experience salvation in our lives, His great grace that comes into our lives, this great gift. You know, if you ever get a chance to do a study or hear a message about grace, you're going to find out that grace is this gift from God that you can't earn. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. All you can do is receive it. The grace that God gives to us. And that's what I really want to talk with you about. That's why I'm going through all of this with you today, is that I want you to know that God is not angry at you. I've had people say to me when they've walked in church, well, the roof hasn't fallen in on me yet. I must be okay today. Look, God's not going to that is man's idea, man's reasoning that has created this idea that somehow God is just looking for opportunities to punish us for our sinfulness. No, God is not looking for opportunities to punish us for our sinfulness. God is looking for opportunities for you and I to be able to receive His forgiveness for our sinfulness, to receive that into our lives through the Lord Jesus. Now, you might ask the question, well, can't I just do that through some other kind of, you know, can I believe on another religion? Won't that take care of it? And the answer is, I have to tell you, is no, because Jesus Himself said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through me. So there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus. Now, the way that we do that, and so just is where our time that's left, the way that we do that is real simple. We call on the Lord Jesus to come in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that we just become a believer. It means that we become a follower. And there's a big difference. I think sometimes this attitude that can permeate even in church is that, well, we believe. So a lot of people believe a lot of stuff, but it doesn't change their lives at all. There's all kinds of things that you and I believe that are not having any effect on our lives at all. You know, we believe that if we work out and that we eat right, that we'll live better lives. But the truth is, most people, even though they believe that, it's not affecting their lives because they're not doing it, even though they would tell you they believe that. Well, we can't let our Christian faith become that, our belief in Christ that become that either. That's why we talk about not just being a believer, but being a follower of Christ, trusting Him and then becoming His follower. I want to invite you today to really consider letting Jesus become Lord of your life, that you would become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you have to get rid of every sin in your life. Just what you need to do right now is to focus your attention on the Lord Jesus who forgives your sins. And to say to the Lord, I don't have it all figured out, but I turn away from all of the things that are wrong and I turn to you because I know that you are right. And you know, when we turn to the Lord Jesus, and that's really what repentance is, repentance. And, you know, a lot of times we think in the church that repentance is that you cry long enough and you're sorry long enough and that you, you know, sort of beat yourself up long enough, then you'll get forgiveness from God. And when he sees that you're really, 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 really sorry, then and only then will you be forgiven. Well, the truth is that repentance, what it literally means, that word literally means in the Greek language is you turn away, you turn a different direction. Can I invite you today to turn a different direction in your life? You might be like me, you're just all messed up. You know, you're running the bars at night to try to find, you're just looking for people to hang. You're just looking for companionship. You're looking for community. You're looking for joy. You're looking to have a good time. You want to be happy. And, but you're looking in all the wrong places and you find out what a dead end all of that is for us, because we're not going to find any lasting joy, any lasting community in that kind of an environment. But we can when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I turn my life over to you. I'm done being in control. I'm done trying to run things. And I'm just going to, Lord, turn this over to you. You're now in charge. And I know people sometimes say, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot. I've heard people say that before and even seen it on bumper stickers. Well, it doesn't work with Jesus being your co-pilot. He's got to be driving the car. And actually, it won't even work with you being the co-pilot. Because really what you have to do is get out of the way and let the Lord take control here in your situation. So maybe it's best not even to get in the backseat, because we can be backseat drivers when that happens. Maybe the best thing we could do is just say, Lord, open the trunk, let me crawl inside, and you just take me wherever you want me to go. I don't have to see where we're going. You just get me where I need to go here. Well, then at that point, then I believe we're really saying to the Lord, you're now in control of what's happening in my life. And I feel by the power of the Holy Spirit that there are some that are hearing this broadcast today, and you really are struggling. You're really struggling. You just don't have peace in your life. You don't have joy in your life. Some of you are like my friend who actually, he booked a hotel room. He took a shotgun in the hotel with him, and he was getting ready to take his life. I mean, he was ready just to end it all. He was a very successful businessman. But he just did not have any joy, any peace in his life. And he just felt so lost and so ashamed of the man that he had become. And he got the gun already, and he was sitting there on the bed ready to put it in his mouth. And the TV was on. And at that moment, an evangelist by the name of Billy Graham came on and began to talk about the love of God right there in that hotel room. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he did, he put that shotgun away, went home, repented to his wife, changed his life, became a great man, just a great, great man who lived for the Lord the rest of his life. His life was totally turned around. That's what repentance does. And I could tell you other stories about people I know, very similar situation. We're just ready to end it. Look, I want you to know, if you're feeling that way right now, if you're really struggling and you're just like, I just am so miserable with the direction my life is going, why not give God a chance? Why not turn to Jesus right now and say, Lord, I just ask for your help right now. Come into my life and just help me. You know, it doesn't have to be a perfect prayer. It doesn't have to be a prayer that, you know, you have all the words exactly right and that somehow if you do it just right and you say it just in the right tone, God will hear you. No, when you ask, God hears you and God answers you. And I want to pray for you today. I know I haven't prayed on these broadcasts very often, but I want to pray right now for you, you that are listening to this. And whether it's at home or you're getting ready to go off somewhere for the day or whatever's going on in your life, I want you to know right now that the words that I'm speaking to you, they're not going to go away, because you're going to remember this, what I'm saying to you today, because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of how much God loves you and how much you were created to have a relationship with your Creator. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Lord God, for our listeners. Father, you love them more than any human could ever love them. You love them, God, just like they are, but you also love them enough not to leave them that way. Father, that you have a transformative process that you want to work in their lives. I pray for the one who is really struggling, Father, who feels so lost and confused. And Lord, they're just driving down the road. They're like me when I was 18, and they're just thinking, I don't care whether I live or I die now. Lord, I just pray that, Father, that you're reaching right now by your Holy Spirit into their vehicle and or into their home or wherever they are, Lord, in the hospital, or Lord, or maybe they're mowing the lawn today and they're listening to the radio in their headset. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit begins to move upon their heart and that you're drawing them with cords of love to you, Lord God, that they might know the grace and the goodness of you, Lord, that you love them and that, Lord, you receive them and that they were created, Lord God, to be with you, not to be far from you. And I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, let me encourage you today before we go. If you need to reach out to me, there's ways you can do that through our website at agchurch.net, alphageorgechurch.net. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is up there. Also, you can go back and listen to these podcasts over again if you missed them. It's my great honor to have been with you and to be with you here every week. Next weekend's Mother's Day. We've got a special program we're going to be doing for Mother's Day. We're really excited about that. But until the next time we're together, this is Richard Jolliffe declaring to you, may God's richest and best continue to always be yours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God bless.